The U.S. should not be in a lagging position. We should be in a global leading position.
Trade is alive and well in Asia. It's Monday, November 16th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, President-elect Biden expected to change Asia approach. Crazy, dangerous weather, laughter to cope with it all. It's all on today's VOA Asia. 15 Asia-Pacific economies have agreed to form the world's largest free trade bloc, a China-backed deal that excludes the United States, which had left a rival Asia-Pacific grouping under President Donald Trump. The signing of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, at a regional summit in Hanoi Sunday, is a further blow to the group pushed by former U.S. President Barack Obama, which Trump exited from in 2017. RCEP will account for about 30% of the global economy, 30% of the global population, and reach 2.2 billion consumers. Amid questions over Washington's engagement in Asia, RCEP may cement China's position more firmly as an economic partner with Southeast Asia, Japan, and Korea, putting the world's second biggest economy in a better position to shape the region's trade rules. The United States is absent from both RCEP and the successor to the Obama-led Trans-Pacific Partnership, and that's leaving the world's biggest economy out of two trade groups that span the fastest-growing region on Earth. RCEP groups the 10-member Association of Southeast Asian Nations, China, Japan, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. It aims in coming years to progressively lower tariffs across many areas. The deal is being signed on the sidelines of the online ASEAN summit held as Asian leaders address tensions in the South China Sea and tackle plans for a post-pandemic economic recovery in a region where the U.S.-China rivalry has been rising. Meanwhile, in the United States, Joe Biden, the projected winner of the U.S. presidential election, will inherit a pandemic-ravaged economy that shows signs of recovery. As Keith Kosinski reports, Biden's ambitious economic agenda will face hurdles in a politically divided Congress.
U.S. stock markets rose after Democrat Joe Biden was projected to have won the 2020 presidential contest. Financial analysts say investors will be reassured if Republicans retain their Senate majority.
The stock market loves divided government. Why? Things are predictable. Why? Because not a lot of things will change.
America's continued economic recovery is closely tied to progress in combating the pandemic. While COVID-19 cases have spiked, promising vaccine trial results have also been reported. Economists say getting back to pre-pandemic economic conditions will be a challenge for the Biden administration.
We're still in a deep economic hole. We have to recover about 10 million jobs to get back to where we were in February. And I think most expectations are that won't take place until 2022.
During the campaign, Biden proposed raising taxes on corporations and the wealthy to fund initiatives in healthcare, education, the environment, and infrastructure. Lockstep Republican opposition is all but assured to any tax hike.
That is not necessarily the best thing for the economy. However, what I believe will offset that will be plans for infrastructure, and infrastructure will get people back to work.
Under a Biden administration, the U.S. is expected to rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement. Biden has promised a clean energy revolution that would put the United States on a path to net zero carbon emissions by 2050.
If it is done immediately, I think we could see some specific issues in the economy because the oil industry impacts everything.
The U.S. should not be in a lagging position. We should be in a global leading position in terms of developing the technologies, investing the technologies, and transforming the economy.
Amid the pandemic gloom, some see a bright economic future.
The age of discovery is not yet over. So as technological advances continue, we're going to see parts of the economy grow and explode that we can't even anticipate right now.
Biden is likely to focus initially on economic stimulus and recovery measures. Before the pandemic, America enjoyed a decade-long economic expansion that saw wages rise and unemployment plunge to historic lows. Keith Kosinski for VOA News, New York.
There's much more on our top story and all the stories that you hear today on VOA Asia on our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, and we invite you to stop by our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you make a visit to voanews.com. Aung San Suu Kyi, NLD, wins second landslide election in Myanmar. National Security Advisor O'Brien to represent United States at Asia meetings. Pakistan claims irrefutable evidence of Indian links to terrorism on Pakistani soil. Pakistani-Indian military clashes kill 13 in Kashmir. In Malaysia, businesses adapt to survive COVID. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more. All you have to do is visit Facebook at VOA Asia and stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. U.S. President-elect Joe Biden is expected to energize Southeast Asian countries that spar with the more powerful China over the disputed South China Sea by siding with them without inviting armed conflict. Scholars say Biden can be expected to put more emphasis on diplomacy, rather than the sort of military moves favored by President Donald Trump, which have included naval ship passages through disputed waters and arms sales to China's regional rivals. Countries in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations should now expect a U.S. leader who will support them in working out a maritime code of conduct with China, says Alan Chong, associate professor at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies in Singapore.
They don't have to directly get involved and trigger Chinese sensitivities. They could just quietly support ASEAN in negotiating the code of conduct. Of course, ASEAN's game plan will always be aligned with Washington.
Washington sees many Southeast Asian countries as allies that could help contain China as needed. China cites historical records to back its claim to about 90% of the contested waterway. Other countries say China's claims overlap their maritime exclusion economic zones. China is tentatively optimistic, but Trump has challenged Chinese leaders on trade, technology, and consular issues, as well as maritime sovereignty. However, scholars say China's increased pressure on Vietnam, the Philippines, and Malaysia in the 3.5 million square kilometer South China Sea over the past 4 years will compel Biden to continue some of Trump's countermeasures, such as the U.S. Navy's Freedom of Navigation Operations, or FONOP. Yu Sun is East Asia Program Senior Associate at the Simpson Center Think Tank in Washington.
I actually see the escalation cycle in the South China Sea as almost a predetermined reality that we will have to deal with, because U.S. cannot not do FONOP operations in the South China Sea, and the Chinese will react, which means that the friction points continue to exist between U.S. and China, regardless of who is president.
Eduardo Araral, associate professor at the National University of Singapore's Public Policy School, predicts Biden will try to keep up pressure on China, partly to show that his Democratic Party can be tough enough to deter Trump's Republicans from running a hawk against him in 2024.
They will probably move away simply from dialogue, because I think Americans already knew that dialogue will not give them an upper hand in relation to China. There's got to be some muscle in that dialogue.
We thank Ralph Jennings in Taipei for contributing this story. Disaster response teams, police, and soldiers continue to work in the Philippines since a typhoon made landfall in the capital city, Manila, last week. Residents of the island of Luzon withstood winds of 150 kilometers per hour as Typhoon Vamco passed through Wednesday, forcing more than 400,000 people to evacuate or seek higher ground. According to the Associated Press, more than 3.8 million households lost power in the capital, with tens of thousands of homes destroyed by flash flooding and floating debris. Vamco is the fifth storm to impact the Philippines in 3 weeks. The region is hit by roughly 20 tropical storms each year. Experts estimate that typhoons are becoming stronger, with climate change blamed for the more powerful tropical cyclones. as severe weather events increase in frequency and intensity in the United States and around the world. Scientists and forecasters are seeking more effective weather mapping programs. VOA's Julie Tabo tells us more.
Severe weather events are occurring more often across the U.S. Better understanding of such extreme climate patterns is crucial for scientists and forecasters, a goal in which researchers at the University of Maryland are hoping to contribute. Working in collaboration with NOAA and NASA, the researchers are developing a weather mapping program using 3D virtual reality technology, an advancement on existing programs where data is currently displayed in a two-dimensional format.
Atmospheric data is 3D in nature. Clouds aren't 2D. Winds don't blow east to west. They blow up and down as well.
What we're doing with the virtual reality is bringing it in and displaying the data in its native three-dimensional context. And we're hoping that that'll lead to better interpretation of the data by people that are using it.
The project, which is funded by NOAA, is one of the few weather mapping programs that's exploring virtual reality, and it's coming just in time.
If you can use our sensing technology with our knowledge of science to get actionable information to the folks that can act on it, you can potentially stop these forest fires before they grow into much more impactful events.
While the program is still in the early stages of development, the experts are clearly excited about its long-term potential.
I think a system like this will make forecasting much easier for meteorologists and will lead to quicker and better decision-making in the event of maybe a natural disaster or an extreme weather event, and possibly help save lives.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
Comedy can bring many things, laughter, tears, and even relief. Paul Kim is an Asian-American stand-up comedian. Born in Burbank, California, he describes comedy and laughter in his own words.
Laughter is so important. Laughter is medicine. Laughter is the shortest distance between two people. One of the best gifts we've ever been given. I've been doing stand-up for 15 years, so I've seen all different kinds of laughers. There's the inside laugher. They don't make any noise. They're always just like insecure, touchy laughers. They always need reassurance. They always, did you see that? Like, yeah, I heard that. We're at the same show. Oh, the snorter, my favorite, you know. It's like such a compliment when you get a snort, except you feel bad for their spouse. You're like, dang, they're like every morning, honey. I'm like, oh my God. I was born and raised in Burbank, California, right here over the mountain. And I'm the last of five kids, two older brothers, two older sisters. They're all 2 years apart, and I'm the fifth. I'm 10 years apart, so I'm an accident. Pretty obvious. My dad was the pastor of a huge church, so being a preacher's kid, you're not allowed to listen to the radio, watch, you know, certain kinds of TV. So the first time my friend let me listen to Eddie Murphy, Delirious, on tape, and he's just cursing, and he's just making everybody laugh, I was like, wait, what is this? Preachers always said what you're supposed to say. You have to stick to the guidelines. But comedians always said what people were thinking but were afraid to say. A lot of times I was the only Asian amongst a lot of white kids. I was really skinny. They call me chopsticks, Indiana bones, chicken legs.
You know, like I was the skinniest kid. Like you could tie a string around me and I just fly away like a kite. I was so skinny. I was bullied.
That's how I started doing comedy, because I could take away the power of that, them making fun of me, by being funny. I have kids. My last name's Kim. I really wanted my son to be a leader, so I was going to name him Martin Luther Kim. My second choice was Abraham Lin Kim, but we didn't want to put pressure, so we named him Lion. He's the Lion Kim. It's the best rush, and by far, making people laugh and helping them forget about their problems is the best drug.
American comedian Paul Kim. Amid all of the heavy world news we hear each and every day, we hope you have a little bit of laughter and fun in your day. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We thank you for joining us on this program and any of the platforms you decide to visit. We also like to thank our team that brings you our program each and every day, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.